On the south side of Dean Street, between Carlton and Vanderbilt, there's a motley assortment of low-rise buildings. A one-story manufacturer, some condos, a tofu factory, three- and four-story buildings housing some 40 artists.
No, he's an American painter from...
From his own three-story home, a former SRO he restored himself, painter Peter Crassus looks across the street at the proposed site for the new development. The block is now dominated by a sprawling, six-story, gray-white, turn-of-the-last-century factory building.
This big building here is called the Pector Bread Factory originally, and it has been for years a storage facility from a company called Time Moving and Storage.
But Forest City Ratner, the developer for the proposed Atlantic Yards project, is acquiring the now dormant building.
So those are all vacated now and could easily stay vacated until, you know, they could be empty for another 10 years. We don't know how long it's going to take them to actually do this. This is one of the great worries of our neighborhood, is that we could be in transition for 20 years.
Crassus, who's president of the Dean Street Block Association, says he was reading the paper one morning at the small wooden table in his kitchen. That's when he learned that he lived at the cusp of the proposed development. Crassus brought the paper across the street to his friend Simon Liu. In a building nestled in a fold of the old Time Moving and Storage warehouse, Liu runs a small, sunny factory that makes stretchers for painters, an art gallery, and an art supply store.
My heart sank. You know, I never even heard of the term eminent domain. And I asked him what it was. You know, I thought, you know, what you own in this country, you own. You know? That's what, after I did all the renovation.
Liu says he's in talks with Forest City Ratner, but he's not sure where he'll be able to find comparable space. One where he can still gather all 25 of his employees for lunch every day.
We don't do such mass production. We don't just crank things out. You know, everything is built to order. We also eat together, all workers. They bring food in and heat it up, and they will make two big pots of rice every day.
Crasher says he and the 40 artists who live and work on this block will miss Liu when he leaves.
For somebody like me, to be a painter, and to be able to go walk across the street and get paints, brushes, it's a dream. It's like a perfect setup. So,
and the price?
And the, well, you don't give me a break.
The price is good, right? Well, you know.
Its prices are very good.
Outside on a biting cold day, Crassus takes me for a tour around the block. On the corner of Vanderbilt Avenue, there's an empty lot surrounded by a rusting chain-link fence filled with trash blowing in the chill wind.
Over here, we're seeing a bunch of smashed up, rusted out car bodies.
This is inside the footprint, right? A lot of its property has, you know, it has the appearance of being more dormant than it was 2 years ago. And I think that's one of the things that people miss when they walk here. They don't understand that what was a pretty active area has been emptied.
Around the corner from that lot, facing the long open pit that constitutes the Atlantic Rail Yards, there are two old low-rise apartment buildings. When the project is built out, these buildings will be gone. Victoria Harmon lives in one of the apartments. It's nothing fancy. The kitchen is lined with sepia-tinged linoleum, the ceiling cracked. Harmon, who is 87 now, sits by an aging stove.
I'm here 1940. We had shredders over here on Atlantic Avenue. Now it's a telecommunication. I can't talk too good. I got a stroke. And we had a school here, St. Joseph's, which was my children graduated from there. And now it's an old age, a senior school.
When she moved in, she paid $25 a month in rent.
Everything was cheaper. I remember when the man would run around and say, bananas, 4 pence for a quarter. No more now.
Harmon raised two sons here. A third child was born but died at the age of 2 from leukemia. Her husband came home from a World War II factory, maimed by mustard gas. He died 2 years ago. She thought she'd die here too, until she got a letter from Forest City Ratner saying she lived in the footprint.
To think to go away now, I could have went away when I was younger. You know what I mean? But he didn't want to go because the rent was cheap.
But Harmon says she would leave if she could get something on the ground floor or in a building with an elevator. It's the uncertainty that bothers her. She reads from the letter Forest City Ratner sent her.
You may also have heard that Forest City Ratner has announced that it will be offering tenants impacted by the construction the opportunity to relocate into the project.
Forest City Ratner says they're in talks with the tenants and promise they'll be taken care of, but they've given no timeline for moving from this block, which wouldn't be completed for a decade at least. The developer has begun making plans. There would be 7 towers here, one almost 50 stories high. Architect Frank Gehry says he's yet to work out the details of what those buildings would look like. But landscape architect Lori Olin, who's designing the 7-acre park, has given this block more thought. His park would contain a pond, a meadow, basketball courts, a skating rink. Not long ago, Olin spoke to a group of New York architects.
Well, one of the concerns that city planning had, and that we, of course, share, is if you come off of the street, say Pacific, and walk into a space, what can you see? And we made sure you could usually see right through to the next street.
To create the space for this, one block of Pacific Street, Victoria Harmon's block, would be demapped. That would create a super block, something that was tried a lot in the 1970s without much success. But Olin says to have traffic on that block of Pacific would mean much fewer amenities inside the park. Back in Peter Crash's kitchen on Dean Street, I ask him about the beautiful park that's planned.
Is there any part of you that sort of, you know, would like to look out your window and see, you know, trees and flowers and, you know, be able to walk over there and play bocce on a summer evening?
Our Black Association hasn't taken a position on this project, and haven't taken a position for a reason, because there are a lot of good things about the project. And some people are going to benefit. What we're trying to do is make sure that at those points where the project doesn't take care of the public interest, they're addressed.
Crassus is particularly worried about what will happen to the small manufacturers on his side of the street. He's worried about how this row of low-rise buildings will feel when faced with 40-story towers across the street. He's also worried about traffic from the demapped Pacific Street being rerouted to Dean Street and a 2,000-car parking garage that would face a row of historic brownstones. Right now, the state is studying some of these issues. But since this is a state review process, not a city one, there's no requirement that views of those like Crassus be taken into account. The state's initial assessment of the project's environmental impact is due early next year. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.